Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yeah, I know old Bob Plant. He's a good fella.
All right, Patrick, before we get started with the topic today, let me tell you a couple quick things. One is I'm outside on the deck, and Shadow's out here with me, and I'll tell you something about this dog. He loves to be outside, but even more, he loves to be outside with someone else.
Yes.
He'll go outside for a little while on the backyard, but inevitably after, you know, 10 minutes or so, wanted to come back in. But if somebody's out here with him, man, he'll just be out here all day.
Yeah.
Just, he loves it.
He likes to look around and see somebody else out there.
It That's right.
Reassures him a little bit. Yeah. Yes. I can dig that.
All right. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We're going to do some more fan mail today. But first, you had asked me off mic about a show I went to the other night.
Yeah. I texted you at one point, I guess it was a couple days back from when we were recording this, and you were like, I'll do that, but I'm on my way to a show. And I was like, yes. Oh, okay, what show? And so you were going to see...
I went to see Alison Krauss and Robert Plant.
Wow, sweet, man.
At a place I don't go to very often because where I live, it's like such a hall. But
it's a hall. Yeah. It's great when you get there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. So Meriwether Post Pavilion, which is in Columbia, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a hike. But every once in a while, if they have somebody I really want to see, and also it's on a weekend, which this was.
Yep.
So I don't have to deal with the weekday traffic.
Right.
Then I'll do it. So there's sort of a perfect storm that has to happen. And then also it ended up happening is that our friend Mike Snyder and his wife Julie were going as well. I did
Excellent.
Not know that. We didn't coordinate or buy tickets together, but when I found out he was going, then we could all drive up together.
Beautiful.
That makes it a little bit better too, right?
A lot better.
And it's one of those big outdoor amphitheater deals where there's like a pavilion, covered pavilion with reserved seats, and then a lawn behind that.
Yep.
I always am in the pavilion. I don't do the lawn thing anymore. That was for youthful times.
That's right.
I'd rather just roll in and go right to my seat.
Yep.
Than have to fight for, you know, acreage on the lawn.
That's right.
And all of that. And then what was I gonna say? But it's a beautiful venue. It's really, really nice.
Oh,
and
it's great.
If you haven't been there in a while, they've totally like remodeled the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's
they
all
have.
Renovated. Yep. It's wonderful now. It's really, really nice. And it sounds great. They really
Yep.
You know, the whole thing, it's a great experience if you, you know, if you can work out to go there. It's way better than the other amphitheater we have here in, the
yes.
big one that we have here in Northern, I'm not even going to say, it shall go unnamed.
The venue
Northern
that we
Virginia.
Will not name, yeah.
That thing, man, I have no interest in going
no.
to that.
Mm-mm.
Really, kind of no matter who's playing.
Yeah.
Now, the smaller one we have here in Northern Virginia, Wolf Trap, that one is
awesome.
Ideal. That's
oh my,
my
God.
Favorite.
Yeah.
That's amazing place. But that's a, you know, a little bit smaller. They don't get necessarily quite as big of acts, but they get really great stuff there. So
yeah,
anyway.
They do. That's a very unique place in America. National Park for
yeah.
the performing arts.
That's
yep.
wonderful. But anyway, we took the drive up to Meriwether, and we managed to, after some struggles, find a place to park. And we got in there, and it was a really, really, the weather was beautiful. It was like in the 70s.
Yeah.
It was right around 70. Like, it was like jeans weather. It wasn't even shorts weather. It was great.
Perfect.
And it was just a beautiful night. And it, like I said, the sound there is great and everything. And Alison Krauss and Robert Plant, I'll say really quickly a couple things. One is both of these people, they really can sing.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's really amazing how well, not only individually, how well they can, you know, each person can sing. They're just amazing. And Robert Plant's 73 years old.
Yes.
His voice is still, like, top quality.
It's
like,
incredible.
He sounds great.
Oh, my gosh.
And, but then together, it's just, like, it's magical. It's really,
it is
it's just
magical.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It really, it's unbelievable what they do. And it's so funny to read interviews with them because one of the things I think that somehow makes this work is there's a certain amount of controlled chaos, I guess, going on which is that Plant, apparently, he admits this, like, he likes to change things up. He doesn't like to sing vocal lines the same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
But Alison Krauss, coming from the world of bluegrass, with a lot of harmonies and things like that, she was like more used to it being more exact.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because you can imagine if you have, especially if you're doing like, say, like three part harmonies or something like that, like everybody's got to sing.
You got to stay where you're supposed to be.
Right.
That's right.
You can't have one person going off doing something else, even slightly, right?
No.
So she's like, this threw, apparently she says this like really threw her at first. But what you notice, because you can, I mean, we were like row Q, so however many rows up that is. It didn't seem too far away from the stage.
No,
so
that's
like,
a great spot.
We had a good spot. But then also they have the video screens too, so when you really want to like see their faces up close, you have that option. You could see how she watches him.
Interesting.
They're both like very smiley to each other.
Yeah.
But you could see how she sort of watches him, where he's going to go, and sort of, you know, follows his lead, I guess, to a bit.
Interesting.
So it's really cool. And he's just like got this like certain like stage presence and this kind of like calm demeanor. You know, he's been doing it for 50 years.
Oh,
right?
My God. So,
Yeah. Really cool. And like hardly any banter or anything like that. They just play these various songs. And they did three Led Zeppelin songs.
Wow. How cool is that?
But as you can imagine, a totally different arrangement, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
All Americana-ish, you know, kind of thing. And when I say Led Zeppelin songs, I mean songs Led Zeppelin did. They aren't necessarily original songs to Led Zeppelin. Like, for instance, Rock and Roll was one of the songs they did.
Oh, cool.
They did When the Levee Breaks. That, and it was like this crazy, like haunting version with like fiddle in it and stuff that was like, Alison Krauss played the fiddle in it, and they had like a sec, I think this was a song where there was one of the guys at back of the band also playing, because I think they were sort of playing off of each other. It was like really like haunting. And then a third one, Battle of Evermore.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Well.
That was really great with the vocals on that.
Yeah, yeah. I bet it was. Because I think originally Sandy Denny did that on the Led Zeppelin album, right? Doesn't she appear on that? Or
I think that's right.
Yeah. That must have been incredible.
It was great. So the whole thing, you know, the whole audience was just sort of captivated through the entire show.
And I bet.
What's amazing about it, too, I think when you play a big venue like that, you know, it's big outdoors. I don't know. What is it? 15,000 people, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. If the lawn's full up. Yeah.
Maybe it's more than that. I don't even. Oh, it might be more than that. I don't even know. I'll have to look that up.
But, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm totally speculating this. I would never be in this position, but I have to think, as a musician, when you're playing a big venue like that, if you're like a hard rock band, let's say, or somebody, like, you know, let's say like a Guns N' Roses, right? I don't know if they play venues like that. But, you know, you come out, it's pretty easy for you to get the crowd pumped up.
Yeah.
Into it, right? Because you're playing that kind of music, right?
Exactly.
But this is sort of quieter, more intricate, you know, sort of stuff. And to be able to hold the crowd's attention, I think, with what you're doing, I think that's even more impressive in some way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point, because it's not like you're out there doing, you know, big power chords or, you know, you have Jimmy Page out there playing riffs
and fist pumps and stuff. You know, it's not like that at all.
Right.
Like, and the way they had the stage, the set design on the stage and everything was all these like little, it was like very soft. It was like, like curtains, tapestry kind of stuff behind them. It felt like if you just saw that, you'd be like, oh, we're like in some club somewhere. You know what I mean? And it's only when you sort of pan out and see all the people, right, that you get a different sense of what this is. But, you know, the band was really great. They had like a couple of people who were sort of like, you know, what you call multi-instrumentalists, right? So like you play keyboards, guitar, fiddle, mandolin, you know, whatever the song needs, that kind of stuff. And it was really cool. But anyway.
That sounds amazing.
One last thing on this. I thought this was amazing. And longtime listeners of this podcast will get a kick out of this. The opener for the show was J.D. McPherson.
No way. Is that right? Wow.
Who we once interviewed on the podcast, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So, let's say.
Going back that far.
Yeah. And I interviewed him backstage at the Black Cat.
Yeah.
He was doing a show at the Black Cat. And anyway, he's sort of this like kind of rockabilly type uh-huh. of performer, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he came out, warmed up the crowd, he and his band, and, you know, had like the upright bass and the real piano and
nice,
you know, and, you know, these like sort of vintage electric guitars and stuff. And they came out and warmed up the crowd and everything, right? And we were like, this is kind of cool. Like, I like him, and it's good to see him getting exposure to bigger audience and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. But I did notice while he was playing, I was like, he's not promoting a new album. So, like, why is he on this? Why did he get booked for this tour? I guess, you know, Robert Plant's the kind of guy who would know something
yeah.
like this.
Yeah.
You know, and think, like, you know, here's a guy who needs a shot. But it goes deeper than that. When Plant and Krause came out to perform,
uh-huh.
who was their lead guitar player in the band?
No way.
J.D. McPherson.
Is that right? Wow, yes. That is really cool. So yes. He's not only a hotshot lead guitar player, he's got his own band and can do some opening stuff. That's really
right.
cool. That's amazing. Yeah.
So he played and he was featured quite a bit, you know, like there were times or solos and stuff, and Robert would even say, like, you know, take it, JD, or something like that. And he'd, you know, and he'd play these various riffs, and his style fits really well with what they're doing.
So. Oh, yeah. That sounds like a perfect fit.
So it was very cool.
That is very cool. That sounds like a great night. That is that is great.
It was really fun. So
very jealous.
Yeah, and I haven't been going to a ton of shows. I'm not nearly at pre-pandemic level
yeah.
of going to shows
gosh.
Yet. I've been here and there, but I've been kind of taking it slower.
Yep.
So but that was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. And once we got out of the parking garage.
That's right.
Sometime the next morning. Oh,
yeah. Once you arrive at Merriweather, things are great. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to do some more fan mail.
Cool.
And what do we got here? Oh, yes. We have a call here about, remind people again about Boston spaceships.
Yeah. That was an episode that we did with Scott Parks. And as we may have done, and I'll look up the episode number for you guys here in a minute, but you know, of course, Robert Pollard doesn't do enough with Guided by Voices and his solo work, so he needs a side project. So Boston Spaceships is a side project with a couple other very interesting musicians. And Scott Parks is into it, and it's become a very collected thing in the GBV universe. And, yeah, cool band with a pretty good rock and roll sound. The only band that Pollard ever side project that he ever took out to tour. So that tells you something.
All right, so here is a call about that episode.
Hi, this is Chris from Oakland, California, and I really liked hearing the show about Boston Spaceships. I'm a fan of that particular band, One Strain, and Robert Pollard's whole career, and I would like to call attention to a band called Eyelids, and that includes Chris Lucarenko and John Moen, both on guitars. If you haven't heard Eyelids, they're based in Portland. Two albums in particular, 2017 Oars and 2020's The Accidental Falls. Those are both great pop, heavy-hitting records, well worth listening to. So thanks a lot. Enjoy the show and take care, everybody. Bye.
Paradise. Empathy.
right, so there you go. There's a band that has a connection. And I'm looking up because I know I have played some Eyelids songs on New Music episodes. And I'm looking this up right now, and it's funny. Four times we've played Eyelids on the podcast, but three of them have been covers.
Is that
right? Other artists, yes.
Interesting.
We have here episode 1157. We play a Depeche Mode cover by Eyelids.
Hmm.
Episode 740, we play a Lou Reed cover by John Cameron Mitchell and Eyelids.
Nice.
And episode 707, we play a Camper Van Beethoven cover by Eyelids and Jay Gonzalez.
Wow.
Jay Gonzalez of Drive-By Truckers.
Right, right.
And but in episode 793, we played an original song. The song was The Accidental Falls from the album The Accidental Falls.
Okay, great.
All right, cool. So thank you for the call on that. Definitely a band to check out.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Chris. Thanks for calling in.
By the way, update here, something I mentioned earlier, the capacity at Meriwether Post Pavilion is 19,000.
Wow, okay. I thought it was a little smaller than that, yeah.
Yeah, 19,319 to be exact. I don't know. The place seemed pretty... Honestly, I didn't get a good look at the lawn to see how full it was, but... You know,
right.
But let's just... I know the pavilion was full, and, you know, so let's just say it's, you know, it's big. It's a lot of people there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely a big room.
All right. Now, let's see. One more call here. Let's see. We... oh, yeah. And your... the series you've been doing is called What Was First?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
And, which sounds like it's a comedy routine or something, but anyway, Touch and Go Records was one of the labels that we talked about. All right, so we have a message here from Vasanth Ramamurthy.
Hey, Jim and Patrick and Suburbs Pod community. This is Vasanth calling in from the suburbs of Chicago. I just wanted to comment on the recent What Was First Touch and Go Records episode that Patrick did. It was an excellent one to listen to. Great to hear the Necros on Suburbs Pod. And thanks, Patrick, for the shout out for my Suburbs radio show. And I also do own that book, the Touch and Go zine book that you mentioned. So yeah, it's a great, great nostalgic read. Just wanted to mention that as you mentioned on the episode about the 25th anniversary show in 2006, well, perhaps unsurprisingly, I did attend that show since I happened to be in Chicago at that time. So just wanted to share some memories from that. One of the acts was Tim and Andy from the band Silkworm, who are one of my favorite bands, especially on the Touch and Go label. So this was just about a year after, sadly, their drummer died in a car accident. So it was just the two of them playing some songs. It was kind of a emotional thing, you know, after the band broke up and their friend was killed and stuff. After that, there was a Scratch Acid reunion. Of course, David Yao on vocals there. Jesus Lizard did not play that show, but they did reunite later. I did get a chance to see them at Riot Fest a couple of years ago. Then there was a three-song Big Black reunion with Steve Albini's band. Jeff Pizzotti from Nick and Raygun, who was Big Black's first bassist, actually stepped in for bass there. They just played a quick set. And then after that, Shellac played a full set, Steve Albini's other current band. And then the last band I remember was Seam. They had been, I think, inactive basically for, you know, 6 or 7 years. And I think that's more or less the last show they've played. They're pretty much inactive now. So it was good to see them. So just sharing some memories from that Touch and Go Records concert. So thanks again for the episode and take care, guys. We'll be right back.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
Very cool. Yeah. I'll tell you, Friday night, on Friday afternoon to Friday night on Suburbs Radio, man, it's pretty killer. You know, from 3 o'clock till 8 p.m. on our Suburbs Radio station, you get Mackenzie Crenshaw, you get new music, then you get Vasanth doing his show My Noise, and then Last Chance Power Drive with you, Jim Lenihan, wraps it all up.
Yeah.
It's a great evening. Yeah.
Yeah, so go to suburbsradio.com and listen there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Just all those shows are great.
Get it on your phone, and you can plug it in the car. You can take it, you know, wherever you go, and yeah, it's a great time.
I got the Android phone, and we have an app now for Android. It works fantastic. I love it. I love it.
Great, great. Yeah, so appreciate that. That's a lot of fun to do. So you can, and the beauty of the radio too is, you know, we play full songs there. We can only play clips of songs
right
here on the podcast, but there you can listen to just full on music. You know, it's great. Wonderful.
It is great. And you will hear a lot of touch and go on Vasanth's show, you know, which is amazing. And I want to tell people it was episode 1350 was touch and go back in April. What was first on that label. So go check that out.
Yes. With connections to my hometown.
That's right.
My home area. Right?
Yeah.
Northwest Ohio up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. All right. Let's get out of here. Appreciate all the calls. If people ever want to send correspondence to us, you can. A couple of these people would record messages on, like, voice memos on their phone and email them to us, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can send an email there, or you can call and leave a message on the Suburban Party Line. The number is
612-440-1984.
Yep, or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at @suburbspod. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Leaves were falling just like ember.
Wow, sweet, man.